Hello and welcome to the Ranking the Albums podcast. This time I'm reviewing the discography of a soul music legend, Otis Redding. Now, Otis Redding's forceful, charismatic personality and vocals were hugely influential across soul, rock and pop music. His rough bark of a voice could be expressive of excitement, joy, tenderness and anguish and sorrow. He valued simplicity and direct emotion in his music, and that perhaps explains his music's enduring appeal. His premature death in a plane crash at the age of 26 robbed the world of a seminal talent who'd just written a masterpiece in Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, a contemplative, almost folky track that became the first ever posthumous US number one. Admittedly, most of his material is not original, but Redding was a masterful interpreter, and his songwriting is fairly consistently strong, if not especially prolific. His original material includes I've Been Loving You Too Long, Respect, and Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, and they're all pretty seminal tunes in soul music. Redding is not the whole story. Stax, the record label that brought white and black session musicians together working harmoniously side by side, they're a big part of this story. Booker T and the MGs, the Stax House band, were pivotal to the Stax sound that backs up Otis throughout his career. Steve Cropper's guitar playing is a cornerstone of southern soul music, with simple melodic lines on the ballads and a raunchy, choppy style on the R&B numbers. Isaac Hayes and Booker T. Jones would play fantastic piano and keyboard lines, and then you have a tight, underrated rhythm section of Donald Duck Dunn and Al Jackson Jr. But most of all, it's a sound defined by the Memphis horns, a blaring, formidable horn section that provides a lot of the hook lines of Stax tunes. When assessing Otis's discography, it's quite tricky since Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, the track, isn't on an official album, but on a posthumous collection of the same name. This was released hastily only 2 months after Otis's death. And that collection is a bit of a hodgepodge cash-in of outtakes and previously released singles. Stax also released a further 3 posthumous albums in the years following Redding's death, and these include The Immortal Otis Redding, unfortunately titled, Love Man and Tell the Truth. These feel a little more like actual albums than the Dock of the Bay records, since they were all taken from a remarkable flurry of songwriting and recording activity by Otis and his band at the tail end of 1967. But their staggered, haphazard release means they feel unfinished and unintended. And even though there's fine tracks like Hard to Handle and Love Man on these albums, it feels very unfair to rank them alongside the records he actually released during his lifetime. That said, considering the nature of their release, all 3 are much better than the phrase posthumous album implies, even if they're not quite essential listening. The Immortal Otis Redding is the best of the 3 for my money. There's an interesting debate to be had about whether the song Dock of the Bay was indicative of a completely new direction for Otis as an artist, because the other tracks that were recorded and posthumously released and really not so much of a departure. And it's kind of up in the air whether they were intended for release in the same way they were eventually released. According to Otis's biographer, Mark Rabowski, Otis had a throat operation in the fall of that year, and he was worried about whether he would be able to sing again and to sing like Otis. He needed to sort of make it quieter, make it more poetic, and so he came up with Dock of the Bay. That kind of implies the posthumous material wouldn't have all been released if he couldn't tour it, but I don't really know. Anyway, for simplicity's sake, I'm going to leave these albums out of my overall rankings and stick to the 6 LPs he released during his lifetime. So at number 6, I'm starting with The Great Otis Redding Sings Soul Ballads from 1965. It's a fairly self-explanatory title for the album. It kicks off with 2 crackers. That's How Strong My Love Is a compelling power ballad, and I mean that term as a compliment. Chained and Bound follows this formula with slightly more angular guitar work. And then by track three you realise it's all the same formula. And that's my main problem with this record. It's very repetitive sounding, and while it's competently played and performed, it's hardly gripping. The lack of variation makes the record feel weak. I'd say this is the one that's noticeably weaker than the rest, including the posthumous records. And it's redeemed slightly by the final track, Mr. Pitiful. This is an up-tempo number with an actual pulse. It rescues the album from the somewhat dormant soul ballads and love songs. I do wonder if it was intentionally placed at the end of the record as a tongue-in-cheek statement. Moving on to number five, The Soul Album from 1966. Considering he made several soul records, I'm not sure this one can claim to be the definitive soul record. I suppose a decent soul album, while accurate, wouldn't have been especially great marketing. One of my favourite tracks from this record is the opener Just One More Day. This is a superb original track. It's a prayer-like yearning meditation on mortality. Otis alternates between talking to his partner and the Lord and asking for one more day. It's ambiguous if he means one more day with his lover or one more day on earth, which takes on a poignant meaning when you consider how he died only the following year. It's not a dissimilar track from previously recorded tunes like Old Man Trouble from Otis Blue, but it's a strong opener nonetheless. The centrepiece and highlight of this record is by far Cigarettes and Coffee, a tune evocative of a hazy late night, early morning. The band's arrangement is pretty special on this one, with Steve Cropper's ghostly, shimmering tremolo guitar and the laid-back swing of the drums and the slow and subtle dominance of the brass section in the mix. All of this gels to produce a warm, sumptuous-sounding track. Redding also covers Sam Cooke's Chain Gang on this album, which shakes up the original by adding some great syncopation in the drumming. Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out, the blues standard, is another well-chosen cover, and that closes the first side. And the first side is fairly strong and memorable, but side B is weaker and offers fewer surprises. I like the originals. Good to Me has a real sparseness. The organ creeps and the brass lines descend. Any Old Way is a light, happy track. But there's some tracks like Slim Harpo, Scratch My Back and Tree to Write that are just throwaways and way too laid back and lazy for my liking. Mystifyingly, the pulsating B-side to Just One More Day, a song called I Can't Turn You Loose, wasn't included on the record. Overall, this album feels like a repeat of the formula behind Otis Blue, but with weaker song selections overall. It feels like they're kind of scrambling for any material just to get a release out, which is a shame because there's some decent tracks on the record, but it does feel underdeveloped. At number four, I have King and Queen from 1967. So this is a duets album. With this record, Stax are definitely stealing from their rivals Motown, especially Marvin Gaye's various duets albums. And the result is a fun, vivacious, upbeat record. Absolutely central to this is Otis's duetter, Stax label mate Carla Thomas. She sang hits like B-A-B-Y, baby. And she provides sweetness and clarity that contrasts with Otis's rasp. The opening track, performed originally by their label mate Eddie Floyd, Knock on Wood, which is one of the quintessential Stax tunes. Otis and Carla's version is brilliant. It really turns up the energy of the original. During the title phrase, or the hook, the drummer hits the snare in combination with Otis's bark, and that really underscores like how percussive Otis Redding's voice is. Then in contrast, on the next track, Let Me Be Good to You, Otis's voice is much sweeter. Tramp is the highlight of their collaboration, again with a killer drum beat, vamping piano. The pair trade insults on this fun, danceable track, which reached the top 20 in the UK single charts, which really shows its crossover appeal. Tramp was originally recorded by Lowell Fulson, who co-wrote the song with Jimmy McCracklin. And it wasn't intended as a duet. Fulson sings on his version, Tramp, You Can Call Me That, taking any criticism his lover might have on the chin. With the remake, Reading and Thomas subvert the power dynamic by presenting the song as a woman's list of complaints about her broke man. Other strong moments on this record include Tell It Like It Is, a bluesy ballad, Sam and Dave's When Something Is Wrong With My Baby. That's covered. I again prefer this version to the original. I think Carla's voice really suits this song. Lovey Dovey repeats the punchy stack sound of Knockin' Wood. And overall, this record, it's pretty fun. It's maybe a bit light and insubstantial, but it's a successful record on its own terms, and the chemistry between the two leads is pretty irrefutable. At number three, we have Pain in My Heart from 1964. This is Otis's debut album, released in early 64, but recorded over 1962 and 1963. The really strange thing about this record is Otis's vocals are generally a bit more restrained. His idiosyncratic tics that you hear all over the later material, these aren't fully realised, or he's playing them down. His voice is quite notably clearer and enunciated. In some ways, that makes the album a little more poppy and accessible than the varied and often raucous material to come. The fundamentals of the Stax sound are all there. Booker T and the MGs play a little straight, but their signature grooves and horn section are there already, fully formed. The contrasting influences of Sam Cooke and Little Richard on Otis's voice are most evident here. The smoothness of Cooke's voice and the hell-raising tendencies of Little Richard's, and Otis tries to hit a happy medium between the two. But the fact was he could do both, and he had that range from tender balladry to raving shout-alongs. To be fair, Pain in My Heart isn't all a safe affair. Hey Hey Baby is a Bo Diddley-esque rock and roll track. The Dog is a pretty good R&B strut. The cover of Benny King's Stand By Me is the first of many excellent renditions of classic songs. And you have the mid-tempo reinvention of Little Richard's Lucille that closes the album. There's a swinging big band style of I Need Your Lovin'. Louie Louie is also covered, which combines the swing and R&B influences in an upbeat but far from definitive version of the song. There's a trio of pretty great doo-wop style ballads. The title track that opens the record, These Arms of Mine, and That's What My Heart Needs, which concludes with a powerful vocal performance from Otis. My favourite track is Security, one of the few originals on the collection, and one of the few songs on this album where there is real, raw originality. The band nails that distinct Stax sound. Instead of aping existing R&B and rock and roll and soul records, there's this special interplay between all the instruments on this song, and it's just masterful. So yeah, this is a surprisingly assured, enjoyable opening effort. Like Otis Blue, it's a mix of well-known and well-delivered covers with well-crafted originals. And it's worth a listen, as it stands out in contrast to those later records. Okay, at number two we have Complete and Unbelievable, Otis Redding's Dictionary of Soul, released 1966. Despite its preposterous title, which makes it sound like a knockoff compilation album, this is one of two of his records that are great from start to finish. Notably, this record increases the amount of original compositions, if not just those by Redding alone, then co-writes with the help of Steve Cropper and Isaac Hayes. Several things work in this record's favour. For one, it's paced well. The track listing is rather more considered, with upbeat tunes and ballads quickening and taking down the pace of the album. And this is the effect of making the album feel more even and cohesive, even when the songwriting isn't absolutely top draw. The downside of this album, I'd say it's mixed a little crudely, songs are faded out prematurely and hastily, and Otis's vocals are often shunted right to the back of the mix. More prominent in the mix is the tight pulsating rhythm section, who are arguably at their best on this record. And it really, the record shows off a greater degree of versatility and invention in comparison to Otis's previous albums. Partly that's because the band play a little looser. The record is closer to rock music than the relatively restrained previous records. The playing is rambunctious on I'm Sick Y'all and She Put the Hurt on Me. And that looser style also seeps into the ballads. Try a Little Tenderness, one of the classic Otis tracks, is very slow burning, but deceptively it's all at a high tempo from the off, foreshadowing how the track explodes into life in the last 50 seconds or so. Otis's vocals are especially brilliant here. Ironically, he abandons the tenderness of his phrasing earlier in the song with his raucous pleas to try a little tenderness. My gripe with the tune is it fades away a little prematurely after this climax, and it should go on a little longer to make for a more satisfying conclusion. But there's no doubt this is one of the iconic Otis moments. Other highlights on this record include My Lover's Prayer, its ringing arpeggios and brass section providing the hooks. Far, 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 sad song, despite its title, opens the record with exuberant energy. Ton of Joy's shimmering delayed organ effect demonstrates the subtle incorporation of psychedelic influences into the Stax sound. Day Tripper repeats the trick of Redding's cover of the Rolling Stone Satisfaction by stripping Day Tripper, the Beatles song, of its riff and restraint and putting rocket boosters underneath it. On the whole, it's not quite as good as the Satisfaction cover, but it is driven and characteristically gutsy from Redding and the band. And once again, the fundamentals of the Stax sound and the songwriting are like before, but the arrangements are a little more considered. So on You're Still My Baby, the band have really thoughtful interlocking parts and counterpart melodies of different instruments. And they can strip it back on songs like Hog For You, in which they take on some dirty, grinding Delta blues, and Otis tops it off with some great hollering vocals. Love Have Mercy is right at the end of the album, and it's a great track with a pounding beat. And it's curiously shape-shifting, kind of, you can see them playing with song structure a little bit more. Overall, The Dictionary of Soul is a terrific soul record, played confidently in increasingly diverse and mature styles. It's one of the two Otis records which I'd highly recommend. It is a little underrated, but it is somewhat deservedly overshadowed by my number one choice. At number one, we have Otis Blue from 1965, or to give it its full title, Otis Blue, Otis Redding Sings Soul. The latter part of the title is often jettisoned since it doesn't really distinguish it from the rest of his records. And what blows me away about this album is its sheer ambition. And that might sound strange for an album largely consisting of covers, but I feel what Otis achieves with this record is that he collates a broad range of tunes to redefine what soul music could be, kind of capture the best of soul's originators, and also highlight the possibilities for where soul might go. It's the ambition of bringing together great tracks from Southern Soul, Chicago Blues, R&B, British Rock and Roll, and there's even a country slant on William Bell's tune, You Don't Miss Your Water. It's the ambition of repurposing tracks from Sam Cooke, The Temptations, and The Rolling Stones to make them his own. In the case of Sam Cooke, who'd been shot to death in late 1964, Otis Blue can be seen as a partial tribute to one of Redding's idols. Three of Sam Cooke's tunes are performed, in which Otis demonstrates the sheer range of what soul music can offer. So there's the impossibly upbeat Shake, the uplifting, cute, but not too schmaltzy, Wonderful World, and of course the harrowing civil rights anthem, A Change Is Gonna Come. The MGs and Otis give a spellbinding, spine-chilling performance off that track, with every musician seizing the implied emotion of the original and straining to lace it with raw emotion, heavier meaning, and well, soul. Even on an album of heavy hitters, this track is a towering highlight, and perhaps only bettered by Dock of the Bay in terms of Otis's overall output. In my opinion, in almost every case, Otis Redding's covers surpass the originals, often taking the syrupy originals and making them rawer, less produced, and more honest and real. And that's definitely the case with the Temptations track, My Goal, for instance. I think, as well, to tackle Satisfaction by the Stones and inject it with such energy and rawness, making the original sounds quite pedestrian and slow is quite an impressive achievement. Allegedly, Otis hadn't even heard the original Rolling Stones version at the time he recorded the song. Even with the excellent varied covers on this album, Redding's originals match this high standard. The opener Old Man Trouble is a stunning track with agonized lyrics, confident declaratory horns, and a dirty, scratchy guitar part from Steve Cropper. Otis's vocals repeatedly beg the titular character to please stay away from me. And like I mentioned before, it's like the opener from the Soul album, Just One More Day, in that it's an ambiguous prayer. This time it's uncertain who Old Man Trouble is. Is he supposed to symbolise the devil or temptation? Is it literally Otis's old man? Does he symbolise a bad influence or just the worst part of Otis's nature? A less lyrically sophisticated Otis composition is Respect, a famous tune unfortunately riddled with entitled sexist sentiment. Aretha Franklin famously turned it around on Otis by recasting the song as a feminist anthem, an amusing case of Otis the master interpreter having one of his own songs covered and bettered. But the original is still a fine example of Otis's ability to knock out simple driving, memorable tunes. I've Been Loving You Too Long is another highlight, very much in the vein of his earlier soul ballads like These Arms of Mine, but cleverly arranged with more dynamic peaks and troughs. Otis Blue is arguably the best soul record of the 60s, and it was released at a time when only the creme de la creme of rock and pop artists were taking albums seriously as a medium. 1965 is of course a key year for the album, with the release of Dylan's Bringing It All Back Home and Highway 61 Revisited, and the Beatles' Rubber Soul. And Otis Blue is definitely up there as one of those albums that define the album as a consistent set of songs, with some sort of thematic consistency. It's an even more amazing feat when you consider it only took 24 hours to record 10 of the 11 songs that comprise this album. The precision of the playing on this record really attests to the effortless tightness of the Stax House band. Otis Blue was pretty integral to Otis's subsequent crossover success into the predominantly white rock and pop scene, and he of course influenced the R&B rhythms featured in Beatles songs like Drive My Car. Likewise, his reputation as a live performer was pretty formidable and key to his success. He ended up playing Whiskey A Go-Go in LA, the legendary club where The Doors and Buffalo Springfield played around this time. These performances are captured in a few posthumously released live albums that are even more ridiculously energetic than his studio albums and worth checking out. Compilations-wise, there's plenty to choose from, but Otis Redding, the definitive soul collection, is the most satisfying. It omits a few classic tracks like Just One More Day and Cigarettes and Coffee, but otherwise it has all the big tunes as well as non-album tracks like I'm Depending on You and I Can't Turn You Loose, and the best of his posthumously released tracks. So thank you very much for listening. I hope that gives you a good overview of Otis Redding's discography. I would recommend listening to the albums in the order I placed them in, as in Otis Blue first, Dictionary Soul second, and so on. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time.